the Agile brand.
Welcome to the B2B Agility Podcast, where we look at the factors that drive success in B2B marketing, with a focus on the people, processes, data, and platforms that make B2B brands stand out and thrive in a competitive marketplace. I'm your host, Greg Kilstrom, advising Fortune 1000 brands on MarTech, marketing operations, and CX, best-selling author and speaker. Before we get started, I wanted to let you know that my latest book, Priority is Action, 7 Principles for Better Strategies, Decisions, and Outcomes, is now available. In it, I give ideas and insights for leaders and teams that need to make meaningful progress on their priorities. After all, our priorities are what we do, not what we say we'd like to do. You can find Priority is Action on Amazon or learn more on my website, gregkilstrom.com. Now let's get on to the show. The pressure is on for chief marketing officers. They're expected to take their organizations to new heights, especially during this time of economic uncertainty and budget cuts. Yet marketers are still expected to get results with fewer resources, and they can't do this all alone. CMOs need a strong team to empower them, build them up, and work together to create innovative solutions that market their company despite limited resources. Today, we're going to talk about how CMOs can build high-performing marketing teams amidst cuts and rising demands. To help me discuss this topic, I'd like to welcome Allison Breeding, CMO at Apptio, which was recently acquired by IBM, in part due to some of Allison's team's marketing skills. Allison, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Greg. Happy to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking forward to talking about this with you. Why don't we get started with you giving a little background on yourself as well as what you're currently doing in your role as CMO at Apptio?
Sure. So let's see. I have been in the software space for over 20 years in marketing specifically, kind of all areas of marketing, but probably spent the most of my time really focused on revenue marketing. So really tightly aligning to the revenue generating side of the business, so the sales teams, and building marketing programs to drive demand to achieve our goals. So I've been at companies, many different companies, Red Hat, GE Digital, Docker, Anaplan, and now Apptio over the last several years. And this is my first CMO gig. So it's been really great to join Apptio. I joined at a time, actually in the middle of the pandemic, but also at a time when Apptio was going through quite a bit of change on the marketing side. So they'd been through a CMO fairly quickly and we're kind of in a rebuild mode. And so, which was great because I got to come in and kind of have a clean slate and really quickly learn, the needs of the business and build out a team and, hit the ground running for a really successful first year.
That's great. That's great. And congrats on the CMO role. That's wonderful.
Thank you.
So as I mentioned at the top of the show, and as you're probably living every day, there's no end to the pressure put on CMOs these days. So part of this pressure requires you to be able to put together high-performing teams despite economic upturns, downturns, and all the other things that have happened over the last several years. So let's start by talking about how that high-performing team is built, when to start hiring, who to look at first, pre-planning, and setting the stage for success. So to start, given the somewhat rapid shifts in the economy of late and how companies react to it, how should a CMO look at when and how they hire?
Yeah, I know it's a little bit tricky. And, Apptio was most recently owned by a PE firm. So we had to be very careful with our spends. We had to make sure, that we were only focused on crucial, critical hires. So, when I joined the company, like I said, there were a lot of gaps within the marketing team that I needed to fill. But before I did that, I stepped back to really understand the needs that what the organization needed from the marketing team. And then, I was able to sit down and really think through with my leadership team what the most optimal organizational structure would look like. And then from there, prioritize key hires. I always say that I like to hire fast when I have the headcount I want to hire for it. But I rely very heavily on my network and trusted referrals. So that, you know, can help eliminate, you know, a cultural non-fit or, you know, somebody that, you know, maybe looks great on paper, but, you know, once they're doing the job, isn't as great. So, you know, I've been very fortunate that, you know, I've been able to lean in on my network and my employees and other employees throughout Apptio to bring in a very, very talented team in pretty short order.
That's great. That's great. And so you kind of touched on this, but wanted to dive a little into the pre-planning part of things. So, you know, what type of pre-planning in terms of, you know, creating marketing teams helps to ensure a greater chance of that longer term success?
Yeah. So I think, you know, start with the goals of the organization, what our expectations are, what, you know, key markets we need to make sure we're in, and then, you know, go back to that organizational design to make sure that, you know, if we take on these certain goals and are we able to make sure that we have the people to actually implement the programs to be successful.
So, and you kind of touched on this as well a little bit here when we started, but, you know, when you're short on team members, it's often, you know, it can seem like it's more important to get somebody to fill these roles, almost anybody to fill these roles, than waiting for the right people. But, you know, how do you balance that with, you know, getting someone in quickly? I know you mentioned, you know, leaning on your network. Certainly, you know, I've done that many times myself as well. But, you know, how do you set that stage for success? And, you know, how do you think about finding the right people for the roles while you're dealing with timing issues?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, the key is I just never want to sacrifice quality. And I pay a lot of attention to, you know, who we have on the interview committee, for example, just to make sure we're not missing something in the interview process. And I like buy-in. I like organizational buy-in for people, new people to bring on board as well. So, you know, we really try to be very careful, making sure, you know, you have somebody that's really looking at the cultural fit of the individual. You have somebody that's looking at the skill fit. And, you know, you're very well rounded in that interview committee. And, you know, while I said, you know, I like to hire fast, you never sacrifice quality, because that'll end up taking up a lot of your time in the future if that person is not the right fit.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. So switching topics a little bit, you know, it probably does. No surprise here, but, you know, CMOs are being asked to do more with less quite often. And, you know, that can mean a lot of things. But ever since last year, with the rise of AI and, you know, more specifically, some of the generative AI tools, and, you know, I think it all kind of started with ChatGPT, but, you know, there's many, many options at this point. This idea of doing more with less seems to increasingly point to incorporating at least some types of AI into that. So how do you look at AI's role in relation to your human team members? You know, if you were to characterize the ideal relationship there, what would it be?
Yeah. So I think, you know, AI is ultimately, you know, helping us to be more agile and helping us to be more responsive to our customers and prospects. But we've got a long way to go before it kind of removes that human element. And I'll be honest, like, we've got some great experts on my team, and we all are very interested and keen in learning more about how we can leverage, you know, the various AI tools to do our jobs better. But, you know, as we've seen and tested the tools that we are using, you know, the human element, the human, you know, making sure that you're fact-checking and guiding the output of the tools is still incredibly important, depending on the accuracy of the data that's used to model whatever it is that we're trying to do. But we're testing. We're having a good time testing out the various tools and leveraging them for everything from SEO to our brand narrative, our sales development teams, using it for response to customer and client customer and prospect inquiries. There's a lot out there, and you know, I do think that it is going to ultimately help us do our jobs faster and better.
To all the B2B marketers out there, the B2B MarCom Summit is the region's largest annual gathering of B2B marketing, advertising, PR, communications, and media professionals. It brings together professionals from brands, professional services firms, tech companies, and more to discuss industry trends, best practices, and challenges, all focused on B2B. The B2B MarCom Summit will take place May 23, 2024 in Reston, Virginia, in the Washington, D.C. metro area, and just a few minutes from the Dulles Airport. I can't wait to join you there. Register today at b2bsummit.co, that's b2bsummit.co, and use the code AGILE15 for 15% off your registration fee. Before we get back to the show, I just wanted to remind you to hit the follow or subscribe button on your app to make sure you get notified when new episodes of this show are available. Now let's get back to the show. So with that testing that you're doing, you know, where do you see this kind of netting out? I mean, I think I look at 2023 as the year that everybody was kind of playing around with many, many different tools and trying a bunch of stuff out. And I think there was benefit and value to that. To, you know, just kind of exploring, because AI certainly was not a new thing in 2023. It sometimes felt like it from the amount of coverage it got, but you know, it was there was a lot of new focus and energy around it. So, you know, I think a lot of that was valuable. But, you know, in the next few years, you know, do you see being skilled at using AI tools? You know, that could be anything from, you know, constructing prompts to just, you know, using some of the major platforms as things kind of shake out here. You know, do you think that's something that is going to fall on employers to educate their employees around? Or, you know, is this going to be something like knowing how to use the internet or being able to search on Google that you're expected to kind of come to the job prepared with? You know, how do you see the balance there?
Well, I definitely think it gives you a leg up when you do come to the job prepared with, but I think it's a little bit of both. You know, obviously with Apptio being acquired by IBM, IBM is an expert in this space. Yeah. There are tons of ways for us as an IBM company to educate ourselves just within the tools that IBM provides. So, you know, those tools are out there, they're accessible. And I think that anyone in marketing should really be leaning in to learn as much as they possibly can. And I do think that it's important for employers to help in that education.
Yeah. And so I think a lot of the focus that I've seen on, you know, marketing teams using AI and a lot of types of teams really, but their work is being augmented and it's almost like an efficiency play. It's like, okay, we can get things done quicker. We can maybe get more done. Where do you see AI in terms of doing more innovative work as well? So not, you know, not just an efficiency play, but, you know, is AI going to really, is it there yet as far as, you know, being able to support more innovative work? Or, you know, are we early on and, you know, I'm sure there's a maturity scale someone's done already, if not 20, on AI maturity and stuff. So, you know, are we there yet or are we still kind of early stages there as far as AI really pointing to more innovation?
So I think early, but we're progressing very quickly. You know, I'm seeing, you know, huge strides really in like the customer success space. And again, you know, we have a customer first mentality at Apptio, and we're already seeing innovative ways to reach our customers better, faster, and more with more accuracy, and, you know, helping them on, you know, really trying to hone in on what it is their pain point is or the problem that they're trying to solve for. So I'm very optimistic that this is going to be a really, really strong year for that optimization and innovation.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree for what it's worth. I think it's certainly there are pessimists out there and you know, I've read plenty of their words, but I tend to be more on the optimistic side here. And it sounds like you agree. And definitely, I think, you know, being able to access the IBM tools and everything like that sounds like definitely a lot of fun potential there just to play with stuff, right? Yeah,
it is.
Nice. Nice. So last topic I wanted to talk about with you is about working with other departments. So, you know, marketing, working with other departments in the org to, you know, provide a true understanding of marketing importance. So, you know, while many departments might have their own version of this, having worked with marketers about my entire career, I can definitely attest to the idea that there can often be misunderstandings of the value of marketing and perhaps different ones depending on who you talk with in an organization. So, you know, even with well-intentioned peers in the C-suite or other executive or leadership positions, those other roles don't always fully understand the full importance of marketing. So how do you as a CMO and, you know, as a relatively new CMO look at this challenge and, you know, what would your advice be to other CMOs?
Yeah, no, it's funny. I always laugh. I always say everybody thinks they're a marketer.
Right.
Everybody does.
Right.
And so, you know, I feel like depending on who it is, you know, that I'm talking to within, you know, the C-suite and my peers, I approach it a little differently. So when I joined, I came into a situation where, you know, the gap was really on building pipeline. We had a really great story, but turning that story into tangible demands that we could track and we could grow over time was the issue. And so, you know, I came in and I needed more money. So I needed to make sure that I was educating the CEO and the CFO on what marketing does, how to track success. We became very data forward. So built dashboards so that progress could be easily tracked against goals and shared very easily with, you know, the CEO, the CFO, the board, the CRO, and others throughout the organization. So I think education around what you're doing and why is key and important to do. Just even explaining the funnel and, you know, what you do at top of funnel to middle of funnel to bottom of funnel to really drive the right demand that will convert ultimately into revenue for the company. Not a lot of people understand that if they're not in the marketing space. And so, you know, I've got a kind of a talk track that I've been using over the years just to educate on that. Because otherwise, you know, when there are issues, our money gets easily taken away. And I just want to make sure that, you know, everybody's on the same page of, you know, how long it takes to drive demands, what it's going to cost, and how to track success. So that kind of covers me, you know, with the CFO and the CEO. And then I think for the CRO and the chief customer officer and even the product leaders, that's really about alignment and taking the time to understand where the business is and where we need to head, where we've got challenges and just where we can lean in and really help, whether it be from better messaging or, you know, more robust demand gen efforts in a certain region. I think it's critical to have that alignment and partnership. So that's kind of my approach.
Yeah. And so kind of same question, you might have a similar answer to this, but you know, thinking about your teams as well, you know, so it's like, you know, part of the job of a CMO obviously is to mentor and grow teams. And, you know, I've known a lot of marketers in my years, and, you know, amazing marketers are great often at marketing a product or a company or things like that, but not always great at marketing, yes. For lack of a better term. So, you know, how do you look at instilling that, some of the same things that you were just describing when you are, you know, interfacing one-on-one or directly with some of your peers, you know, how do you kind of instill that same thing with your teams so that when they're interfacing with their peers or with others, they can have the same results?
Yeah, no, it's really important. And you are so right. I can't tell you how many times in my career I've thought about, we need to do an internal campaign just to make sure that everybody in the company understands what we're doing and they see it and they get it, you know? And so we do a lot of just educating our own teams on what we're doing. And we spend a good amount of time doing that. You know, we have biweekly all hands so that the team is aware of not only what they are working on, but what the greater marketing organization is working on so that they can then be advocates and communicators of the value that marketing is bringing to, you know, the business.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I mean, isn't that also about everybody kind of looking at the same, some alignment of goals too, right?
Absolutely. Cause you know, to 100%. Yep. That's a, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, to like, I'll pick on IT, you know, just cause they're not here with us right now, but you know, often it's like there are these conversations of like, oh, well, marketing wants this, but it's going to take a lot of time and we're going to need a lot of engineers on this, or it's going to take 6 weeks to get the data, or you know, whatever. We've all heard those things before, but you know, when everybody is kind of held to the same goals and standards, at least in part, obviously there's going to be very specific goals for some teams, but you know, when everybody's kind of looking at the same dashboard, so to speak, yeah. I would imagine that can help, right?
100%. And we've taken great care in making sure that not only for marketing, but you know, all of the organization is aligned on goals and objectives. So that does help when I'm working with, you know, IT or other areas of the business to kind of go back to, hey, you know, this is a pipeline driver. This is going to help us hit these goals. Yeah. We're challenged because we don't have it. And here's what I think we can get if we have it. So that every, you know, it kind of speak their language of saying like, look, this is not just a nice to have, this is going to move the needle in the right direction to help us hit our corporate goals.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Allison, thanks so much for joining the show. One last question before we wrap up here. You've given a lot of great insights, a lot of great advice already, but you know, what's one next best action you'd recommend for those listening, those, you know, marketing leaders, those CMOs out there that want to build a stronger marketing team this year?
Yeah, I think my advice is to make sure that everybody is aligned to the goals and objectives of the business. And then that can waterfall into, you know, your organization. And when you're hiring, think through, you know, the needs of the company as they relate to your organization. Be very thoughtful in how you design that org structure. And really, really lean into your own network, the network of your peers and your employees, to make sure that you're making the right hiring decisions the first time.
That's great. Great advice. Love it. Well, again, I'd like to thank Allison Breeding, CMO at Apptio, an IBM company, for joining the show. You can learn more about Allison and Apptio by following the links in the show notes. Thanks again for listening to the B2B Agility Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please take a minute to subscribe and leave us a rating so that others can find the show more easily. You can access more episodes of the show at www.b2bagility.com. That's b2bagility.com. While you're there, check out my series of best-selling Agile brand guides covering a wide variety of marketing technology topics, or you can search for Greg Kilstrom on Amazon. Until next time, stay focused and stay agile.
The Agile Brand.